What is up, the Entrepreneur DNA family? We are back with an incredible guest. For all of you who are interested in AI, in the AI world, working with AI, all things AI, we today have a very special guest, the founder of Human Creative, which really is able to verify whether something has human touch to it and created by a human or is AI generated. We have our founder, Tiffany Ward, here. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you, Justin.
Very excited to be doing this because I feel like we've talked a lot about AI over the last year, not you and I per se, but just the world and in my podcast episodes and everyone's AI this and AI that and the newest AI of all the new AIs and all the things. I want to talk to you about what I believe to be really important is how do we, for those of us that love the human component of things, how do we verify the human touch? But before I get to the question, let me actually take a step back. Tell us about Human Creative.
Yeah, Human Creative is a company that's dedicated to certifying human content in the age of AI. And the way that we go about doing that is live tracking, live monitoring services. So we live track the entire creative process from start to finish, and then we're able to provide really good verifiable evidence that something was made without generative AI. And that's just essential in a world that's inundated with AI content.
Now, give us some use cases of what this is going to be, what Human Creative is best used for as a moment in time.
Yeah, at this moment, we're used by individual artists to prove their work, but we're also being used in educational settings. Obviously, it's essential for different types of academic institutions to know that their students are engaged in critical thinking and actual original writing and not just offloading all of that to an LLM. And then we're being used in the business world, like think tanks, publications, fellowship applications, job applications, anything where you want to have content that you are assured was original and written by the person that you're receiving it from. And as well, I was speaking with a newspaper this morning who said that they love having a stamp, the idea of having a stamp on their publication that says this is certified human content, which is the service that we offer.
I think that means a lot to me. Now I'll give you my perspective and then how that leans in. I think even the simplicity of every email I'm seeing today is AI generated. You can just absolutely tell. Now, as someone who uses a service like that just for simplicity's sake, I'm okay with it. However, I think everything is becoming this automation of AI. This is why Human Creative it really is there, right? If someone's going to write something and it's a book or give us some more use cases, whether it's an article, a blog, whatever. We want to know that it's a freaking human, not AI generated.
Yeah, I know. I think that we're all at that point where we have grown tired of AI generated content. Like last year, within the last year, more than half of the content of written content was AI generated. So we're looking at this creates a lot of problems. One, with AI content detectors of the normal variety, they have been eating so much AI over the past year, it's actually difficult to discern what was original and what is AI. It becomes very tricky. And also because there's more AI content, we actually all start to sound a little bit more like AI because we have been reading, it's what we read. But two, you just mentally turn off, right? Like you get an email, you read four words in and you say, why should I be bothered to read something that you weren't willing to write?
Right. I mean, I'll bring it to the creator's world. People that create content, right? Their captions, their everything is now just an AI thing. They don't have any unique human touch to even the message that they're saying, right? Because you could easily create, let's just say the motivators out there, like you create an easy motivational post. It's not AI can write that all day, twice on Sundays. So they're just taking the easy way out. And then there's no human inspiration or aspiration behind it. Like it's hard to get motivated when you know someone just said, quote, you know, Aristotle's thesis, and it's like, oh, whatever, right? And you're like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Right. And human expertise actually used to be a high value item. And now we're eating content that a 14-year-old could put out with the same prompt.
Yeah.
Why should I trust your expertise when the 14-year-old can put forward the exact same thing? So yeah, there's this degradation of trust that's going on, especially in the business world in terms of, well, yeah, you're supposed to be offering me something of value, but now you're offering me something actually quite cheap. So yeah, there are many applications for our service to be used in a way that will build trust, restore trust and integrity in all types of business.
Now, art is one, I think, that is unique, right? I guess I'm not in the art world. Are you seeing a lot of AI coming into the art world now?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is infiltrating it all over the place. And I mean, there are scandals in the news regularly about, was this book written with AI? Mm. Was this novel written with AI? Was this poem written with AI? And if you don't have a way to actually prove it, I mean, artists who do write originally, they have concerns, like they are afraid that they're going to get accused of this, and they're coming up with all different kinds of methods. And it doesn't matter if it's writing or painting. People are starting to film themselves throughout the process of painting just to make sure that even that, which is a tangible art, that they can say, no, I really did this. So they're, yes, it's impacting the art world substantially.
What are the conversations you're having with who right now in your space?
I think we're having a lot of conversations with publications and with educational institutions. Educators are extremely discouraged. I just spoke with actually a neighbor who works at WVU and a local very, very large university. And they said, yeah, it's discouraging to even think about grading right now because so much of the content is AI generated content. And so it's kind of just sucking the resource and joy out of education because you're not actually seeing your students grow. You're not even meeting your students in their papers, and your students are actually growing in something you can look it up after, but it's called cognitive debt. And it is the way in which our brains are actually becoming more atrophied, like on a neural level, by being so dependent on LLMs.
That makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, as you say that, I could see a world where we're going to look back and all these psychologists and psychiatrists and all these doctors are going to say, the world is dumber because AI, and here's why. And everyone's brain essentially does nothing all day long, and here we are. Let's bring it back to school for a second. I got caught plagiarizing my senior year at UCLA. It was my last paper, literally my last paper, and I was over it. Fully, I'm done. This is my last paper. I don't care. My GPA was not going to change. Like, I think I was solidly at like 3.2. Like, I didn't care if this course gave me an A or a C. My GPA is not really going to move, right? I went to the library and thought I was smarter and literally would copy word for word real books, not online. So like, if I just go rip a lot of these online things, I'm just going to get caught. But I'm going to be smarter. I'm going to take the time. I'll go to the library. I'll take pictures. I'll write it word for word. So I didn't use any AI, but I was fully cheating, lying, and stealing other people's actual genuine content, right? And they caught me. And this is back, I got to, you know, I'll age myself. This is back in 2003. Right? When I graduated UCLA. So their software then was good enough to catch someone going to the freaking library and finding like obscure books and basically just like stitching some unique passages from different books and different authors and doing it what I thought well enough to not get caught. Now I was wrong. The machine was smarter than I was and I got caught and I got a big old F and I literally could not get my diploma until I went to summer school that year. So I still got my diploma in time and same year and all that stuff, but I had to take the course over again. I really did the work. I got a B. It wasn't that hard. I was just tired of you know, being a student. So fast forward to today, and you're talking about these educators at WVU, which is a big college, and I can only imagine what they're going through. And where my question is, do you think the conversations you're having are going to actually take a human creative and force the students to stamp it with the human creative seal, if you will, because then the teachers can trust it was done the right way? How do you guys fit in the education space in that sense?
Yeah, that's a really helpful question, because there are certainly students who have shown interest in that exact type of thing of using us on an individual basis to prove their work. But mostly we're dealing with serving the institution. So we have a submission portal, organizational plans, where we give to the teachers the verification of the work in extensive detail. So every paste that is made into a file, we make the student explain or cite that paste. And then that is revealed to the professor on the receiving end. We tell the professor if they were blocking their phone, if they were using an extension that monitors all their browser activity and blocks AI sources, whether they were leaving the editor and how many times they were leaving the editor while they were writing. And then we give them a playback feature so they can watch the entire crafting process from start to finish themselves. And you're pretty much able to discern with all of this information at the end whether something was original or not, right? Like someone pastes three paragraphs of content in, you look at why they pasted it and they say, I like this. And you think, no, no. And we flag that. Like everything that if they give an explanation and it doesn't comport with the reason they're saying, even if it's a website, like you put wvurocks.com, it will immediately verify to the teacher, this is not a real website. This is not a real source. And so it helps them to be able to discern when students are trying to sneak things in, and it makes it actually just a lot easier.
And we all know that world's not going to stop, right? Everyone at all times of history is going to find a workaround. This is what we do as humans. There's an easier way. There's a workaround. Anyways, I say that. The schools then, and I don't know, obviously I graduated some time ago. Is all the input that the students are giving now all web-based, meaning that's what you give the school? So now Human Creative sits on their website, again, saying, hey, this guy or girl just cut and copied this whole thing. None of this is original, because all of now the required, whether it be homework, papers, or otherwise, has to sit with inside the university's website, essentially?
More or less, it's... The way that our service functions is like a word processor. It's like going into Google Docs. You just go into our service, you write your paper, and then it gives a submission link to the instructors that will be able, they can either read it like it's just a normal paper, or they can click that little certified link. This is certified human content. They can click it. And for a professor, it's going to reveal to them
how it was created.
I mean, we have integrated with different learning management softwares. But yeah, it's a little more intuitive than that.
Yeah, I think that's where my original question was. It will be on the student's side of them delivering the content. So they will go into Google Docs. They will write or cheat, lie, and steal, one or the other. And then it will get delivered to the actual professor. And then
inside their sense, yeah, it's a proactive approach rather than a punitive approach. The punitive approach, unfortunately, this is where we're at, is a student writes their paper. Maybe they themselves are nervous that it's going to be flagged for AI, even if it's original. It gets submitted. The whole work is done already. And now it gets run through a AI content detection service that is somewhat accurate, somewhat not accurate. We know that they are very inaccurate, generally speaking, and they're becoming more inaccurate the longer that AI has been around, just because of how much AI content is on the internet. And so then it gets flagged, and now you have this situation where, well, a professor has to try to figure out, did they cheat? Did they not cheat? Is it so serious that I need to bring it to the administration? Am I going to get sued because maybe they did write it originally, but my AI content detector, which is post-production, it only looks at something after it was written. It says that it's AI. My student says it wasn't. I'm not sure what to believe. And this is a pickle that institutions are dealing with all over the place. And it's one of the reasons why Turnitin's AI content detection service is being abandoned all over the place by Vanderbilt, UPitt, because it's creating this intense tension where we don't know if we can hold a student's feet to the fire. And it puts our institution at great liability if we falsely accuse them of using AI. So our service is different because we're proactive. We do it all on the front end during the crafting process. We're monitoring then rather than giving you some sort of questionable verification after something's already been written.
So then the question to me is obvious. How do you just get in front of more universities?
Well, that is a great question. Actually, I think there are lots of educational conferences that are really helpful in displaying different ed tech products. And that is a place where decision makers go and try to discern. And this is a really hot topic. People want a solution to the problem. Again, we have disenchanted educators all across the country trying to manage this problem. Some of them turning to, well, we can only write in person, in class, right? Like going back in time.
Right, with a number two pencil. In one of those blue little pads that we used to get, the little
blue
ones. So, well, and I say that with how I'm thinking, like, well, how do you move your business's needle and what you guys created with Human Creative is you just need to go get in front of every single university and high school and whoever you possibly can. But then what is the business model? Do they pay for your service? Is that a part of their, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. These are contracts with the institutions themselves. So it's not individual students paying. Of course, they have that option. We have an individual service, and that's where a lot of our poets and writers,
authors.
They're there. But for the organizations, we have the submission portal. They want more verification on their side, right? Like if you are a newspaper receiving contributions for your publication, you want to make sure it's not AI. They run it through our system and they're able to see everything in a way that with the individual plans, they're basically just getting a stamp that says, this is certified human content. I wrote it in the system. It's secure. Here's a certificate. They get a shareable QR code link. But generally speaking, with the academic institutions, those are the ones we're signing contracts with.
So you go to every newspaper, Post, Wall Street, name the name, right? And say, hey, you guys are going to want to have the service because you want to make sure the what would they be called? Not, you know, because they have their own journalists, right? But then I think they also receive, like you just said, like
contributors.
Contributors. And so you just go to them and say, if you don't do this, you're going to be in large chance that you're going to create an ecosystem where people can just give you garbage.
Yeah. And people are facing the repercussions of that. It's not uncommon, even with these major newspapers, that they will be accused of using AI. And sometimes it turns out it was true because one of their contributors used AI.
Right.
And that damages the integrity of their paper. It damages the integrity of the journalistic process for them. And so that is something that, yeah, it would be a benefit to be able to put forward, no, this is certified. Like, this is certified human content. We went through every hoop possible to make sure that we are not putting AI-predicted content out for my readers.
Is there an algorithm percentage, I guess I would say, of, like, if I was writing a paper but, you know, used AI for 10%, would you just say, this is AI-generated? Is it, like, all or nothing? Or is it, like, within certain percentages, like, if you're using...
Yeah, there's no percentage. We, instead of grading percentages, we want to create total transparency, right? So whenever something sounds like AI, if you're one of these organizations using our plan, we will highlight exactly what looks like AI. Everything that looks like AI, it's in brackets. It says, this sounds like AI. If it is a paste and the paste was, say, we wouldn't pass it because it seemed like it was AI content. You can force a paste, right? Maybe they have to put it in. Maybe they're critiquing AI. We don't know. They click force paste. It immediately flags the file for the verifier. And then it will show them the explanation. And then our service will give an instantaneous explanation of what we think is going on here. So it will say something like, this is suspicious. It has generic AI trope phrases. It lacks personal quality. It does not comport with the rest of the document. And we are suspicious that it's AI. It actually says sus paste. This is a sus paste. So yeah, we are just providing as much transparency in the process because we do recognize that people will want different things. They will be okay with certain things. They will not be okay with other things. We want them to be able to actually make an informed decision. This is AI content. We think this is AI content. Here, you can do with it what you will. We're just going to tell you everything.
Yeah, and so you still leave it up to the teacher to like fully figure out whether it's, you know, an offense and you fail them or not, or if they're letting it slide. It's still totally up to the university, the professor, whatever that may be.
Yeah, I mean, we give them general ratings. We give them a thumbs up. We give them a yellow. We give them a thumbs down, just so that they have a quick, instant, this is what we think. And we also offer expert human auditors who are trained in editorial behavior. And they watch the entire crafting process start to finish and they evaluate it. Is this normal editing behavior? Is this normal human behavior? And if you get one of those human audits that says no, like, that's a no.
Yeah, that's Justin Colby going to the library and trying to find
that's
some.
That's right.
Yeah.
I marvel at your story just because of how much more energy it takes than cheating today.
Oh, my God. And I thought I was just outsmarting him. I was like, oh, I'll spend more energy, but I don't have to think. Because that was the whole thing is like these papers, that, you know, at that level, like it's a lot. They're expecting a real paper, right? Like you don't get to just be like, so I was done. It was my last paper. I was like, I don't want to
And yet,
think.
you had to put in the effort to think through what would be a reasonable source here. And when you're typing into an AI agent, it's just populating everything for you. You don't even think that far. Like your brain
Right.
is so far removed from the content that
Right.
you are putting forward in your name.
Yeah, I mean, God, I just, and this has to go into high school. I mean, it's going everywhere, right? Like, again, I want you guys in high schools, especially because I think the kids these days are lazier than ever because this is the age they grew up in it. Like, you and I didn't have AI. This is a new thing. But they need, like, this is a function that's absolutely needed at this point because I don't, to your point, like, I don't believe 99% of social media anymore because I feel like everything's just AI generated. I'm like, I think I told you on the when we were talking previously is there was this old monk giving sage like life wisdom on Instagram, and I don't do a lot of scrolling, but from time to time I'm tired, I'm with my wife, and I saw this old monk giving, and I followed him, and turns out like full-blown AI, it's not a real person, not a real monk, just giving this wisdom as if he was a monk, right? So you could do that in any freaking LMMs, LMLs. Anyways, I just get so discouraged with it, right? And that's why even the emails, I'm like, you guys didn't even think about the email and you just sent it. It like resumes. I have a friend who's the head of hiring at a very big firm. And they're like, you should see these resumes. I mean, it is like so blatant. Like most people even forget a lot of times to like switch the imperative parts out, right? That like they were interviewing at one company and my company, and they forgot to translate the name of the company, like because everything's just cut and paste everything.
I think the HR application has been really beneficial for us personally as a company. Two hiring processes come to mind. When we were hiring our junior software developer, we had all of these applications come in monolithically AI, but
Oh,
like
of course.
amazing, supreme. You would think, I rated all these candidates 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Can't wait to interview them. And our chief software engineer said, why don't we make them do a test in our service where they have to do a small 30-minute original coding test and let's watch them do it. So we had them all go through and do this test, and then we watched the playback in our service. And as we were watching the playback and just like seeing how they were coding, you saw that all these tens, AI dependent, trying to sneak AI in. They come to a problem, they make a wrong solution. Like their resumes were beautiful. How would
Yeah.
we ever discern that they were not good candidates? And then we had this much lower level candidate based on their resume, and we watched that coding test, and he was clever. Came up to a problem, didn't just solve it, solved it in a way that we were like, that's clever. And after we hired him, I mean, we kept him on. We love
Yeah.
him. He's
Yeah.
great. And that just shows one of the problems with AI and hiring is you actually don't know the candidate that you're hiring at all.
Yeah.
Because if all of your applications, all of the resumes, all of the cover letters are AI generated, it's the same caliber coming in, but the actual candidates are at these calibers. How are you
That's
going
right.
to know?
Yeah. You told me that when we were talking off camera, is you then put them through a test in the hiring. And I just think that's brilliant these days because I think even small businesses, they just got to say, okay, whatever I'm hiring for, you just got to put them through the test of the thing you're hiring them for. Otherwise, I just think at this time, without human creative being worldwide and everywhere, there's just no trust. I mean, this goes back to my challenge of the trust economy. Who do you trust? Like, what do you trust? Who do you trust? How do you trust them? It's
Go
good.
ahead. Well, I was going to say, Canva does this marketing survey every year to figure out what it is that consumers want. And this year, it turns out that the vast majority, and I don't remember the percentage, it might have been 78% of people, prefer an advertisement that was totally human made, even if it looks worse than an AI generated advertisement. And I think that's what you're getting at is you feel a connection to a human being.
Yeah.
You would prefer a connection to a human being that has faults than you would with a machine that is pristine. there is something in which when we are encountering each other, like man to man over email, right? Or consumer to product, or clients to another client, like we want to connect with something that is real. We want to be spoken to as if we are real. And the machine is slowly ruining that. Like it is degrading that ability for us to connect on a meaningful level.
Yeah, the human condition is we are, you know, of fault, if you want to say it that way, right?
Yeah.
We're not perfect. But what AI does to us or for us creates perfection. And you go, that's just nothing about that is real, right? And it is why, you know, in some of the, in my space of being a creator, I'm seeing some of the biggest names right now. You know, I had the pleasure of interviewing Gary Vee last week. And to me, he's like the top of that pyramid. But whether it's for Mosey or whatever, they're going all the way back to like doing this stuff, like just put up a phone and start talking and having like very little to no editing, because people are thirsty for real humanism of all content, of all art, of all, right? And I want to bring a little bit more into the physical art here. Besides authoring, right? Whether it's a book, a paper, whatever, right? A blog, which seems to be probably the easiest path for you guys, I would think, to be able to audit this. What is the next chapter for your human creative to like put a stamp on approval that this was made by human?
Yeah, so we have patent filings to become the live monitoring service for graphic design, audio, video, and tangible arts. Like, we are eager and ready. Graphic design would have to be the next priority, I think. I wouldn't say it's the easiest priority. I would say that entering into the provenance of graphic image is actually extremely difficult. Something that I am excited for us to begin to create this service. In fact, when I was meeting with this newspaper earlier this morning, that was something they asked, well, can you also do graphics? Because we get these AI, we have a no AI policy, but our advertisers who are not allowed to submit to us AI graphics, they have been submitting AI graphics, or at least we're convinced they are. How do we know? So I would say that graphic design is a big, that would be a big mark for us next.
Yeah. And specifically you would, you know, you're bringing up advertisers, like who are you kind of targeting is the client that would use your service?
Yeah. I think that is still to be discerned. So we just need to have more meetings with more people. It may be that marketers, like marketing firms, would like to have something like that.
Yeah, because they have a lot of the independent contractors that provide them with a thing, right?
Yeah.
And they need to make sure it's verifiable.
Exactly. But I also think that graphic design has a lot of just individuals who do graphic design and run their own businesses. I think that that is something that would be a high priority for them to set their work apart in the age of AI. And I think that people who are doing original work, like they're taking more pride in it than they did before, because they realize that what they're up against is people putting in almost no effort. They were not trained creatively. These people have gone through training. They have worked hard to build their business. They're still doing original work. Their minds are the creative power at play, and they want to prove that because they're proud, yeah. And they should be.
Do you ever get into, like, I'm just going to use a fun example, like furniture, right? Like, you know, in my space for 15 years, I've been in real estate for quite some time. And so nowadays, like AI home building is here, right? Which is, you know, they basically have these machines doing all the foundation and doing the siding. It's basically a cement house, right? Which is more stable than wood, I guess you'd make the argument. But, you know, I would make an argument that people will pay more for furniture if it's like an Eames chair. Is, you know, some crazy number, like, I don't even know, 15 grand, right? Or something crazy for a real Eames chair. Are you in this space of like, do you think you're going to get there with something as funny or interesting as like just furniture, right? Did you build that chair or did you not? Or did a machine build this damn thing?
Yeah, I certainly do think that we will enter into a lot of spaces. We have the preliminary architecture for an invention that monitors your hand movements as you're working. Make sure that you have a human pulse, and like, so that you can verify whatever type of art you're doing. Like if it's crocheting, that it was something that you physically had done yourself. So I think we have the potential certainly to enter that space. Furniture is a weird one. I'm not sure that I've actually thought about the furniture example, but certainly, a broad application for tangible arts where you can verify, this is something that I built and put my blood and sweat into.
And that's why, I guess you haven't gone furniture shopping recently, because this stuff is really expensive. And, if machines make it, I feel like, okay, I would say, it's machine built. I'd maybe pay more if Tiffany Ward made this chair than if the machine did, right? So anyways, kind of think of that ecosystem.
There's a premium on human produced content.
For sure, 100%.
Last year, I received a text message with a poem in it. It had a picture of my husband with someone, and someone had written this extremely clever and witty poem about the scene. And when I read that poem, my esteem of that person went up. I thought, they are clever and witty, and this is enjoyable, to see into their mind. And then I found out that it was written with AI.
Wah, wah.
Right. So what does that do to my feeling about the poem? Right. It is that expensive versus cheap, valuable versus cheap. And that is just a poem over a text message. But certainly with the chair, the difference between handcrafted wood or something from IKEA, everyone understands the value. And it is strange to be in a world where now we're in an economy of words. Where words have that same level of, discrepancy between what is valuable and what is not.
So almost like a collectible to some extent, right? Written by a real human, it becomes a collectible because AI is just everywhere. If you guys are interested in AI, I'd love for you guys to share this. Human Creative, Tiffany Ward's company. If you know people in the education space, if you know people that could start to use this, please reach out to Tiffany. Where can everyone find you, or where's the best place?
You can go to humancreative.org. I'm on there. And you can also email me, tiffany@humancreative.org. Very simple. Happy to connect with anyone who's interested. And if we can be of help in any business or educational institution, individuals, let us know.
Yeah, I hope this goes really, really big for you, not just because you're a great person and it'll be great financially, but the world needs it. So I'm a big believer in the human component. And thank you for jumping on the Entrepreneur DNA. I'd love for all of you to reach out to Tiffany, as you know people, I'm sure, that could be using this type of technology. And make sure you give us a 5-star review. We'll see you on the next episode. Peace.